Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard and Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
Amen, and Happy New Year. And good to have you on, and looking forward to a good program. So I'll turn it over to you guys and be standing by.
All right, sure appreciate it. And we do welcome everybody, too. This Wednesday evening's broadcast of Hope is Alive. And what is Hope is Alive? It's a show about testimony. It's a program about those who have overcome that which was oppressing them, evil spirits, sicknesses, the vices of the enemies just coming against people, and they were set free from it. And how were they set free? They were set free by Christians walking and exercise of their authority as ambassadors of Jesus Christ to do the greater works than these that Jesus talked about. It's a process called deliverance. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, deliveranceusa.com is a website set up there free of charge to use. It's got excellent, excellent material on there. It's got training, self-deliverance, prayers, problem lists. Just about everything that's mentioned here on this program is there at that website. Or if you'd like to do things the old-fashioned way, read a book, which is good to read and good to have. There's a book written by Pastor Cox called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's an excellent manual, step-by-step, how to perform deliverance, self-deliverance, and to help set captives free. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book. He'll certainly get it out to you. I believe we ask a $20 offering for it. But it's an excellent, excellent tool to have in your arsenal. Well, Pastor, sure, it's good to be back. We took some time off over the holidays, back here for the first broadcast of 2022. That almost sounds like sci-fi when I say 2022. It does sound strange, doesn't it? But we're getting used to it. You know, it's always a problem when you write your first check. You have to kind of be careful not to write, in this case, 21 on it.
Yes, I'm writing out my receipts. I'm putting a lot of one,
112.21 on it today, and I was like, oh, darn it, that's a new one. Well, Pastor, I know we've got a pretty good broadcast tonight about the Masonic Lodge, and some of the looking forward to it. And you know, I've been thinking a lot about the Masonic Lodges, thinking about these what they call some secret societies, and a lot of people get into those and just don't realize what they're doing. Maybe they get into it because they're looking for fraternal brotherhood. Maybe they're getting into it because their daddy was one, or I looked into it in my 20s because my granddad was one, and I didn't. But through the grace of God, I decided not to go through with it. I think the main reason was is that time in my 20s, I didn't want to commit to going to meetings. I was having too much fun. But you know, a lot of people do these things. They don't realize when they go through these initiation rites, the things that they're doing. You know, the cast's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And it is a big deal because you're taking oaths, you're participating in Antichrist rituals, pagan rituals, and it's a shame because I know a lot of fine men out there who belong to the Masonic Lodge, and they just don't have any idea what they've opened themselves up to.
No, they got into it, a lot of them, I think, because they had friends in it. Sometimes they did it for business connections, that sort of thing, not realizing what they were doing in those rituals and initiations, like you say, and actually speaking curses upon them and their offspring. And, of course, at Deliverance Ministries, we run into a number of generational curses coming from the Masonic realm and Eastern Star and the other associated entities. So it's a big deal, and this man that's going to be on at 9:15 has been in it for some time and then found out what its roots were. So he'll be telling that. Well, we had 19 cases this Monday, Ralph, and
awesome.
It was a great evening, kind of a full house almost. The chairs were kind of full in there, and they were all intensive, you know, wanting to know about it. And there was a typically, it often happens, somebody would bring a teenager or a grandfather brings a son, and they don't want to be there. We had, I know, at least one of those. You can always tell quickly they're not really engaged. But the bulk of people coming, because they're desperate, they're tormented with all kinds of problems of fear and anger and rage and anxiety and depression and all those kinds of things, and they're ready to make changes. So that was the bulk of the people last night, and it went really well.
Oh, fantastic. You know, it is, you have to, there has to be a certain amount of desire to be set free. I mean, I really don't see very many instances or examples in Scripture where anyone was set free, even by Jesus, that wasn't searching for it, wasn't asking for it, or their covering. Maybe it was somebody's father, or as Zaterian said, my slave, somebody had that spiritual covering over him, was asking for it. With the exception of this Gethsemane demoniac that was at the tombs, and the woman with the spirit of divination that kept hollering at the apostles till they got annoyed. Everybody that I can think of in Scripture desired to be set free. They showed, as Jesus would say, off the pursuit.
Well, one point on that, Ralph. The way I read it, he did come to Jesus there in the tombs. He could have stayed on the other side of the tombs at distance. But he came up to Jesus and talked to him, and knew who he was, the demons in him anyway. But the real him came to him.
Yes. Well, that's a way to look at it. I'd never given much thought about that. But the main point that I was trying to get to is you'll hear a lot of times, well, why don't these these faith, you know, they're mocking faith healers go to the hospitals. And I was like, well, there are some that do, but for the most part, it's the people are searching them out, because there's a certain amount of faith that has to be done. If you don't want it, it's just not going to work.
Yes. And that's what we find, but there's long lines of people saying, help me. I am tired
there
of
is.
Torment. Somebody help me. And then they hear, well, go over to Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, and they're helping a lot of people. Maybe you can get help. So that's it's word of mouth that brings many in.
Yes.
You know, this is the 44th year. Well,
44 years.
And then 38 years for the actual corporation, Deliverance Ministries, yeah. Inc.
That's a long time.
I know. It's a big
it's a long,
part of my life.
It's a long time. But I will see. I belong to a couple of different groups on social media, men of God, men of Christ type things. And I'll often see so many people on there will talk about the things they're struggling, whether it be addiction, pornography, drugs, alcohol. And I see poor advice. Yes, reading the Bible does help, and fasting does help. But so many of these things that are attached by spirits need to be cast out. And it's a shame that Christians don't understand this. And I can remember for years struggling with my own addictions as a Christian. And I was told things foolishly, like, well, you just don't know how to control the flesh.
Yeah.
And I guess maybe I didn't. Then why didn't I? Because I had seducing spirits lying to me and convincing me to keep doing what I was doing. And even when I reached a state of sobriety, I still had this strong desire, but I was more mature as a Christian to be able to fight it and combat it. But the desire was still always there, and it wasn't until those spirits were cast out the desire went away. And I can honestly say, and now we're looking at 6-7 years, that I don't have those desires anymore. Doesn't mean
Amen.
That the temptation every once in a while may come up. There'll be something that a lot of people call trigger. You know, you'll see something reminds you, gives you a memory, maybe a smell or a song or see something on TV. But I'll sit and think to myself, well, praise God that I don't have that anymore. And,
Amen.
So that's just one of those things. And then I can use the I ams too, because I had a spirit of condemnation come on to me about something. Something brought back a memory of when I was late teens, early 20s, and I was sitting there and I just started feeling, I was like, man, I can't believe I did that and this and that. And I was like, oh, wait a second, Jesus paid that price for me. Once I was confessed that and I was forgiven, there's no condemnation. The only one trying to remind me that right now is the enemy. And I just said, perish the thought, which is something we haven't talked about in a while. Maybe sometime we will again. I know we're going to have a caller come on here. We won't. But I practiced perish the thought and stood upon the I am, said, and I am, therefore there is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. I am forgiven of that. It's forgotten. And it was confessed. And I just said at that point right there, I said, I'd take any spirits that are trying to attach to that memory right now, and I'd send them to the feet of Jesus. And that's just a way to maintain a self-deliverance, to fight those spiritual battles, because the enemy will come against us from time to time.
What's so exciting about sin, when we confess it before the Lord Jesus the Christ, we are forgiven, and he doesn't even remember our sin anymore.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right. Because he paid the debt. He paid the debt, and when we apply that blood and apply that to the sin, it's done
for.
There is a verdict, and that verdict is called mercy and grace.
Yes, I love it.
So, yeah,
thank you, Lord.
Awesome. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And I hope that those out there listening to this realize that. And if you have those voices in your head that are telling you, you know, you're no good, you did this, you know, oh, well, what kind of Christian are you? You think this, or you do that, you struggle with that. There is a good possibility. That's not your own thoughts. That's not the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That is a demonic spirit that is lying to you, a seducing spirit that is lying to you, trying to convince you otherwise of what you are in Jesus. And there are ways to combat that with the I Ams, but it could be that you just need to go through deliverance and have those spirits that are cast out. Maybe that spirit is attached there because of a curse. Maybe that spirit is attached there because of unrepented sin. Maybe that spirit is attached there for various different reasons, generational curses. But you do not have to live. You do not have to live in that condemnation, and it can be cast out. Well, Pastor, we have our caller this evening. I am sorry I didn't get the name, but thank you for calling.
Kevin, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, good, Kevin. Kevin, I'm so happy you called in. It's Ralph on there with me, co-host up in the Branson area. Well, Kevin, I know you have an exciting and a very informative testimony for us tonight, but why don't you go ahead and start off with some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverances were like, and changes you've seen, and so on.
I was born again in 2009. I had finished a 50-week treatment for hepatitis C. I only had a 52% survival rate. God told me it was time for me to commit to helping others in need, and God had a plan for me to better help others. I joined a church, became very active. After a short time, I began teaching marriage enrichment classes, adult Bible studies, ministered at a correctional facility for 16 and 17-year-olds, and organized a revival in our local town. I moved on to be a deacon at that church. I also joined the local Masonic Lodge. I thought this was an opportunity to reach out and help the community. I found your website for Deliverance Ministries when I searched for the prayer of the release for Freemasons and their descendants. A friend from Bible study had sent me that prayer. Three individuals from my Bible study attended your facility, and I went the following Monday. Changes that I've noticed since attending Deliverance Ministries, I'm no longer influenced or tormented by things Masonic, demonic, sexual, or love of money. I feel a strong love for Jesus and a commitment to love and help others. From the beginning, this is my Masonic story, from the beginning of becoming a Mason, I thought it was a good thing. It would be great to distribute an organization's money for a greater good within your local community. Put people through college, donate to free medicine clinics, award students in local schools, buy shoes and clothing for needy children, etc. I was in all the chairs, including worshipful master, secretary, treasurer, and the Blue Lodge. I was a Sir Knight in the York Rite, a 32nd degree in the Scottish Rite. I was a noble in the Shriners, and I also served under the Grand Master of the State of Oklahoma as a district deputy Grand Master. I began attending a Bible study group. On several occasions, the Masons were brought up as being a demonic and controlling organization worldwide. At first, I began to debate this idea amongst my Christian brothers. I began to research the history of Albert Pike. He was instrumental in writing a book called Morals and Dogma for the Scottish Rite. This book is often referenced to the lower-level Masons by 33-degree leaders. I was in a quandary, but needed to find the truth. I did not want to jeopardize my salvation. The leader of the Bible study sent me a video presented by Walter J. Veith, and that's with a V as in Victor, which is on YouTube today for anyone that, who wants to see that. I watched this video at least four times. It's an hour and 27 minutes long. Walter's entire video, all he does is reference this book, Morals and Dogma, and what Albert Pike writes about. There are versions of this book with pages missing. To back up what I'm about to say, you'll need an older copy that it's not missing any of the pages. Albert Pike is referenced saying, and these are three bullet points that I pulled off the video, the Holy Bible, which sits upon the altar, which you take your degrees on, is nothing more than furniture within the lodge. No more significant than the chairs and benches, and that is on page 11 of Morals and Dogma. The masses are misled like cattle. Only the chosen 33rd degree know the true meaning of the secret society. That's on page 819. Lucifer is the light, so says Albert Pike, on page 321. My personal story, for several years I had been tormented by being awakened in the middle of the night with an 8-foot demon standing at the foot of my bed. I would ask God, why am I seeing demons when I'm devoted to your kingdom, Lord? One particular night, I was awakened three times with a demon standing at the foot of my bed. I blinked four times, and on the fourth time, he disappeared. I prayed, please, God, remove Satan from my bedroom. I was allowed to sleep until morning. I can safely say that since I have rebuked and prayed to be removed from the Masonic demonic cult and attended deliverance ministries, I have not seen any demons at the foot of my bed. And God bless me in many ways. That's
praise God.
Robert, that's about all I have.
Yeah, well, that was you came a long ways. And how many years were you in the lodge?
I was in masonry for 12 years.
Uh-huh. You came up the ladder a long ways, pretty fast, didn't you?
I sure did. I was probably within the first year, I was in the York Rite, the Scottish Rite, and a Master Mason in my Blue Lodge.
It takes quite a bit of study, doesn't it, to come up in those degrees?
Yes, sir. There's a lot of memorization, a lot of dedication.
Yeah, they give you tests to see if you memorize this and that.
Yes, you have to recite it verbatim, and it, most of the language is many pages long.
Wow. Well, that's there's a lot of people that have been obviously deceived. I know I had an old friend, well, I was in grade school with me from second grade up, and I knew him, and all through the years he became an attorney. And I'd kind of, you know, lost track of what he was doing. He was in this sailboat racing, actually, on an international basis. He was really got into that and all, and he was the head of the sail harbor group out at Lake Hefner here in Oklahoma City. But I saw him eating by himself one day. I went into this place to eat. So I went over the table and sat down with him, and I said, George, are you born again? And he said, I'm a Mason. So why is it, Kevin, that people figure they're born again by being in the lodge?
Well, That was my concern, because I thought it was, since you took your degrees on the Holy Bible, square and compass, that God was involved in that, but only to find out that the very top people are deceiving the lower level individuals. I've met some very godly men that are in Lodge, and they're just unaware of the depth of demonic Luciferian that it truly is.
So there's a lot of those people that are going to their individual churches, and they would appear to be born again, but yet they're involved in that. And then they get up to those higher degrees, I guess it's the 33rd, where they recognize a Luciferian doctrine, which is amazing to me that people that have been in churches and been taught about Jesus Christ and the Bible would, or I guess they're hoodwinked. Is that what the term you'd use?
Well, yeah, you're hoodwinked. Yes, exactly. I can't say enough, but it breaks my heart that they're so hoodwinked. I've reached out to some people that are still in Masonry, and they just look at me like I'm crazy when I tell them that it's not of God. It's actually, and Albert Pike talks about, he says Lucifer is the light, and that is so misleading because we know who the light is. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Right. Well, do they not know who Lucifer is? Are they just ignorant of that, who he is?
I think they're ignorant of it. I think it's the big deception. Because you're doing so much good for your local community and you're allowed a certain amount of money to invest and match in your community and help others, that I think they believe there's no way that this could be bad because we're helping people in our community. And they go to grade schools, high schools, even I've seen them put some people through college. So they're deceived.
Well, that's so amazing. I guess there's a lot of people out there that figure you're going to heaven with good works, isn't it?
Well, I think they feel they're going to heaven because they believe in God and Christ, but they don't know that they're being lied to and deceived. And I just, that's why I was wondering, why am I seeing demons? I'm a deacon in a church. I totally am committed to the walk of, the Lord's walk, kingdom. And why am I seeing demons? And so the proof to me is once I was prayed over, the demons extracted, I denounced the Masons, and I don't see demons. I don't, there's nothing like that in my life anymore.
Sure, and of course that's being associated there and being an actual member and even reaching those degrees as you climb the ladder, you're obviously associated with them, which is demonic in origin, and of course, we have a handout at Deliverance Ministries when people say they've been involved in the Masonic, or they are, or their ancestors have, and we have a 3 or 4 page handout that it more specifically breaks the curses that were involved in all that. Did you go through that 3 or 4 page handout on breaking those curses?
Yes, sir. I found those on your website. I did them before I went to Deliverance Ministries, and I was reading them at my desk, at my computer, and about halfway through denouncing that, I had this great pain where my heart is, and I was dizzy. I thought I was going to, if I'd have stood up, I probably would have fallen over, and I just stopped reciting the prayer and said, I'm not going to stop. And I continued on and got through it. And, but we did it again once I went to Deliverance Ministries a second time.
Wow. Yeah, those demons didn't like you doing it. They were obviously manifesting in your body and stirring as you were breaking those curses. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, that hoodwinking, talk a little more about the hoodwinking. That apparently deceives right there a lot of people that might not be so deceived. But what is the hoodwinking?
There's a mask or put around your eyes so you can't see, and you're led around the lodge. But once you go through and become a master mason, then you can observe new members coming in. But that's through part of the ceremony. You are hoodwinked. You are there is a mask on your eyes, and you have a person on each side leading you through the language and various things.
Something spiritual must happen in that ceremony, Kevin, don't you think? Like a demon of deception coming in at that time?
Well, when I step back away from the Masons, I realize that when you're raised as a Master Mason, it's basically like a play, and you are killed by some ruffians, and then you're raised up. Well, it's just mocking what Christ did, and I didn't realize it at the time, but it's clear to me now that you're just making fun of what Christ did for us so we could be saved. And I can't think of a worse way to anger God than saying, you know, an actual person has been raised when Christ is the only person on this earth that's ever been raised again from the, died and had risen after 3 days.
Yes, he was the firstborn, newborn.
Yeah.
Well, that's most amazing. It's something spiritual happening. I have no telling how many demons come into people through all that, and particularly recognizing Lucifer as a doctrine. That just blows me away when I think about it.
Well,
Ralph,
you'd have some
questions.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to add to, you were talking about demons. When I went and burned my aprons and my hats, all my regalia, I took pictures, and I've showed spiritual people who are very God-fearing people, and the flames, you could see what appears to be many demons in the flames while it's burning, and it's very eye-opening.
Wow. Did you hear any sounds come out of it?
No, I was warned that could happen, but, I did hear hissing, but no distinct,
yes.
Yeah, nothing other than a hissing noise.
Yes, I've heard of that happening with trying to burn Ouija boards, and actually screaming coming out of it. Well, that's just, again, all that's good to get rid of when people come to the ministry and they have ancestry that is in their bloodlines, Masonic relatives and ancestors, then we always suggest they get rid of any rings or anything that was been handed down through the generations, you know, because we've learned demons can hang around that kind of thing. Did you have to get rid of some other stuff? Did you have a ring
at
all?
Yes, sir. I had because I'd been secretary and treasurer, I had a lot of paper, three-ring binder full of papers, and I had quite a fire, and there were some pages that did not burn, and there was one book in particular that didn't want to burn, and I just kept praying for the Lord to let that burn, and I had to put a charcoal lighter on it, and finally it burnt. But when I was going through the ashes, I had some pages that had some words on it. They were Masonic words, and I had to re-burn those, and I couldn't believe that it survived the fire.
Wow. Well, how good did you feel after burning that stuff?
Oh, satisfied. I just don't want to take a chance on those, any demons coming back, waking me up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's what people need to do. Burning is the best. If you can't burn them, at least get them away from your property. You wouldn't want to bury them or anything on your property. Because demons can hang around those kind of things. What else would you think to say to the people? Ralph, you may have some questions.
My main thing in all this is I hope that I can, from what I'm telling you tonight, that maybe there's a few that are on the fence or maybe questioning what they got themselves into, and I just feel that the Lord is guiding me to help these guys that don't know what they're in to get out of it and to go through Deliverance Ministries.
Yes. Well, again, people are so naive. They see the good things the Shriners are doing and all that, and we see it on TV, and then people think, oh, those are really nice organizations, and that's what they would appear to be on the surface, isn't it?
Yes. It's all deception.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad that you finally got out of it. I mean, when I said to you, how good do you feel? You had to feel tremendously better. The demons were—they was giving the demons legal rights for you for them to stay. And when you burned all that, and of course you were doing the renunciations and everything in the ministry, you had to feel really good.
Yes. Well, I had pain, like arthritic pain that really didn't completely go away, but I don't hurt in areas near as bad as I did before. I didn't realize how bad it really was until I completely rebuked the Masonic organization.
Yes. And that you follow Jesus. Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Well, in your deliverance, what else went on in your deliverance? Did you feel many demons coming out, or you yawn or cough or anything?
Yes, I was coughing, and I was doing some other things, but I won't say that on air. But yes, I heard of people yawning. I did yawn a couple times, and I coughed, so I felt like there was something. I felt lighter when I went home.
Well, that's what we hear most of the time. We kind of joke about that because just about everybody says at the end of the ministry, "Why I feel lighter," and it is like a blanket of heaviness that comes off. Well, that is so awesome. Yeah, and you're in a position to really share with people that are thinking about it or already in it now, because you've been there. You've had the experience with the demons that were attached because of it, and nothing like someone that's been there to tell someone.
Well, I'm I'm ready to answer any questions that anyone has. I feel that, that the Lord has put that on my heart.
Well, Kevin, something I might ask here is a lot of times people don't realize just the religious nature of the Masonic Lodge. And am I correct? I've never actually had a person who was in the Masonic Lodge tell me. I'd heard this ceremony performed. I was talking to my cousin, who is a Shriner, and from the expression on his face, I think that I was right on it. Is it true they do a mock death and burial and a resurrection in the Masonic Lodge when you get, I think, to the third or fourth level when you become a Master Mason? Is that true?
It's the third when you become a Master Mason, yes, sir. That was
yes.
When I read about that, how they're actually mocking Christ and his resurrection by doing it.
Yeah. It actually looked like the symbolic act of baptism in water to me. And when I was explaining to my my cousin about that, and was trying to show the different, you know, the comparisons right there, that being religious in nature, I could tell by the expression on his face that I was probably heard correctly.
You tied up some loose ends, probably.
Now, and I've also read and heard that as you go into these different levels, that you take these different oaths, and I, because I am an ancestor of Mason, I went through, did the four page, but one time I was just thumbing through the long one. I can't remember how many pages that is, Pastor. The one that's like 18 pages. I was thumbing through it, so you're renouncing the different things that are in there, but it seemed to me that you're invoking different demonic spirits into you as you take these different levels. And I heard someone once say that when you reach the 33rd degree level, you basically come on to full-on demonic possession, and even some can even summon Satan himself. Can you verify that one way or the other? Do you know, or just do speculation?
Well, I reached the 32nd degree. I was never approached. To reach 33rd, it is a, what do you call it? They a group of them will ask you to become a 33rd. So it's you don't, once you get to 32nd, you don't work your way any higher. It's like you're advanced by your peers. So just by what Albert Pike talks about in that book, Morals and Dogma, you know, it makes me look back at, and I used to look up at these 33rd degree leaders, and I'm thinking, well, how many of these guys really know what's going on? Because according to the book, they're held to such high secrecy, they don't talk about it unless you're in. And so I never did experience that. But since I've gotten out, I've read more about, they know more than they tell us lower level Masons.
Oh yeah, and I'm convinced that most lower level Masons think of it as nothing more than just as a fraternal organization, like a, you know. I know my granddad. There was no way my granddad was part of the New World Order and stuff. He just talked about how he liked it because they always helped each other out. He said, I only had one time my entire life where another Mason did me wrong. And he was always so impressed with what the Shriners did with children. And I asked him once, why didn't you join the Shriners? And two reasons: one, they spend too much money, and two, they party too much. that was the only reasons behind it. But I'm convinced they just don't understand what they're doing. And as I was talking to my cousin, talked to a few others, I said, well, don't you take a notice of all these personal curses that will come upon you if you reveal any secrets? And you know, some have said, some haven't, but I can tell from the expression. And I said, well, think about how hard it would be never ever to mention anything, even if you slipped up and talked about what behind those closed doors. You basically put a curse upon yourself. So you know, because it'd be pretty hard. I mean, even when you're told, yeah, hey, keep this a secret, it's easy to slip up.
True. And what I've revealed tonight, I could probably have my feet held to the fire on, but the people need to know what's going on, and they're being deceived so terribly.
Yes, well, I'm glad you're coming on, and that's one thing people need to realize, too, that the blood of Jesus is greater. What he accomplished at the cross for us is greater than all the oaths and all the dangers that could happen from coming out and exposing what you know about the Masonic Lodge.
Well, and it says in the Bible, I can't remember which book, but it tells you that God just merely wants a yes or a no, that to take oaths or swear on other things was demonic, or it's Satan at work. It's not what God had intended for us. And you're just to say, yes, I believe in Jesus and the triune God, or no, I don't. And I had to research this a long time, because I was really torn, because I was so sure of myself that this was a good organization, and the longer I've been out, the more secure I feel that I made the proper decision.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, they do some good works with what they work with children, and I know people that have received the benefits of that. But still, that doesn't justify all the stuff that goes on behind those closed doors. I have seen firsthand in my late 20s what they do behind closed doors, because I was in the hospitality industry, and we'd had a large Shriners convention come into Branson at the time that I was working, and they had a party in the facility I was in. They were able to keep the cops out. And I saw firsthand the debauchery that went on. And it just absolutely amazed me what they could pull off. And they simply said, well, if the police show, don't worry, we'll take care of it.
Wow.
So, yeah, and there was numerous laws being broke in that building during that day. So, unfortunately, that time of life, I was at that, I was like, oh, that's cool, but that was in my 20s, being young and dumb. But I still I knew I was always been into the conspiracies and stuff growing up, and I knew that there was things that weren't right about it. And when I saw that kind of power, it basically confirmed what I'd been reading. So.
Well, Kevin, with you you're going in the training now at Deliverance Ministries to be a training team leader at some point, and
yes, sir.
I can see you will be a real asset with anybody
yes.
that comes that's in the Masonic activities, that and especially if we know in advance, we can put you with that person. So you'll be able to explain a lot of things and even probably a pretty good idea of some of the evil spirits to come against.
Yes, sir. Well,
so
I thank you for the opportunity to be a leader and to take the training. Thank you, Everett.
Yeah, that's... You're a real asset, because we don't have anybody in the ministry that I can think of that's been especially as high up as you went and can have an overall understanding, as certainly up through that level, to explain to people and then to explain about the demonic that it actually represents. So that's really awesome. Do you,
thank you.
So... you come, what is it, your first or second time you've come to the ministry training?
For just the first time on Monday.
Okay. Well, I noticed, I kind of knew you right off when you came in. I figured that was you, and I had never met you. I guess your voice just kind of went with you. Well, that's a great asset. Do you have any other questions, Ralph?
Well, no, I'm just I'm trying to think to myself on some to ask. But, yes, you will be a valuable tool and to help those, especially there at Deliverance Ministries, because so many just are going by kind of speculation, what they've read, what they've been told. I can think of one person, Pastor, I won't say his name on air, but I remember he was one of the gentlemen from Alaska who made the claim he was in a 32nd degree, but he made a lot of boastful claims, so I'm not 100% sure if he was or not, but I know I'm fairly confident his deliverance didn't stick because I don't think he was quite ready or sold on the process. But I personally have not taken anyone through it. I do know that we have had a few testimonies of people that that were descendants of Masonics, and when they had a lot of breeding issues. And when they were able to go through and break those curses, the breeding issues went away.
Well, another thing, we've seen so many people that have illnesses that were generational, that were connected and had come down through the curses from an ancestor where the demons would disclose it and all. And so that's another thing. It's so much more widespread than a lot of people realize. But praise God, there's answers in Jesus where they can get their Jesus overhaul and break free of all the attached stuff that came out of the being involved with it, as you've just experienced. So, as I mentioned earlier, you got to feel pretty good.
Yes, sir.
Well, as we wind up with you, Kevin, what else would you say to the listeners?
Oh, reach out to, if they can go to Deliverance Ministries, for sure. God has put on my heart to try to save as many existing Masons and to reveal the truth and help them to get closer to Christ. And what they're doing is not as good as it's portrayed to be. It's all a deception by Lucifer.
Amen. Well, that's a great testimony, and thank you for sharing that input that none of us would be able to know. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Kevin. And God bless you, brother. I'll see you in the training Monday night.
Yes, thank you.
Both of you. Thank you. God bless.
Right. Have a good evening.
I'd just like to mention to the listeners that that 3 or 4 page handout that we have of breaking the curses, if you have in fact relatives, that is blood relatives, ancestors that were in the Masonic activities, that you can even print that handout. It's on our website, it's on the website, deliveranceusa.com, and then it goes to Deliverance Ministries, and then you can click on what's called Ministry Tools, and as you scroll through there, you'll find that the Mason curses to be broken. And you can print that off and go through that, breaking those off. It was obvious that Kevin had something there because of the pain that came on him while he was voicing that out loud and breaking the curses. You do have to do it out loud to get it into the spirit world.
Yes. Yeah, again, you can get that at deliveranceusa.com. It is in the Ministry Tools. But, you know, if you're having some issues, and you can't find the root cause of it, it wouldn't hurt to go through it because, you know, some of those generational curses could be four, five, six generations down. And when you really think about how many grandparents you have at that many generations, I mean, everybody has four grandparents, eight great-grandparents, 16 great-great, and 32 great-great-great. And, you know, the chances are, especially in this country in America, one of those could have belonged to the Masonic Lodge. I was really surprised when I was doing genealogy research for my family and I was going through Find a Grave, and you could find your ancestors' tombstones, how many of them had the Masonic symbol, the Eastern Star symbol on their grave. On the grave, yeah, so when you see that, you know for sure that they were in the lodge. But it's the good news is the blood of Jesus is greater than all those curses. The good news is that you can be set free from those curses. You know, about last week, week before, I had a revelation given to me when I was saying what we often heard, well, I've read the end of the book and we win. Well, that's a lie. We wanted the cross.
Yes.
And that was back in Matthew. So we don't have to wait till the end of the book. We have that victory now. We have that victory in Jesus. He gave us the commission to do these things. He gave us power and authority, Luke 10:19. He told Christians to go out and do these works in Mark 16:17-18, the Great Commission. And he also told us in John 12:14, greater works than these you shall do also. And we're expected as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We have that authority. An ambassador has the full authority of the king or the head of government when it comes there to operate and exercise and perform things in that name. And that's what we are as ambassadors. So if you need help with deliverance, you need help with self-deliverance, maybe you want to get into deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, excellent, excellent website. Or the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Now, the Masonic prayers are not in that book, but it is a good book to start with just basic deliverance, and it's a great teaching tool. And you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you liked that book, and he will definitely get it out to you. Well, Pastor, that was just interesting. You know, there's a lot of people would say, saw an 8-foot demon. Yeah, right. Well, when you've seen demons in your life, you don't doubt what other people have.
Yes.
And the good news is we don't have to be scared of them. We have, I don't care if it's a 30-foot demon, we have all power and authority over them. But
that's it.
Thank you for joining us. That's right. Thank you for joining us this evening, folks. We look forward to having you next Wednesday. God bless and have a great night.
God bless everyone.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
to overcome all the power of the enemy.